I've had some bad bosses in the time, so I just didn't want to be that. I wanted to be the opposite.
Hello, I'm Renee Vaughan Sutherland, and welcome to Greater Than 11%. A weekly podcast that explores roles and opportunities within the creative industries, with the aim of contributing to increasing diversity across the board, in addition to promoting some awesome women.
For episode 59, we're joined by creative brand consultant, founder of Lemons Me, and co-founder of Beanie Buds & Co., Davina Ijana. Completing a design studies BA at the London Metropolitan University, she then broadened her knowledge and scope, following up with photography and urban cultures masters at Goldsmiths. Davina has worked for a number of big fashion and beauty brands over the past 15 years. Initially entering the industry as a graphic designer, she honed her talents and her leadership skills, moving up the ranks as she progressed. Her first role was with Clarins, where she designed beauty kits and materials for promotions, in addition to managing interns and junior designers. Following this, with a wide remit from anything from window designs to press events, she worked as a senior creative for Miss Selfridge, before moving on to La Senza, in the role of lead digital designer, where she supported a team of web developers, digital designers, and copywriters. She did a stint for fashion house Jaeger, moving on to a much longer gig with TK Maxx as their lead digital designer, before jumping over to Boden as their senior graphic designer, where she led a team working across print, retail, and digital. She then landed a job with shoe brand FitFlop as their senior creative manager before deciding to go freelance and set up brand agency Lemons Me. With all those major brands under her belt, it is evident she has flair, a sharp eye, and strong design muscles. So it makes complete sense that the focus of Lemons Me is design consultancy and creative strategy for brands needing to sharpen their identity. And if that whirlwind tour of her talents, drive, and experience hasn't left your head spinning, there is Beanie Buds & Co., an online kids concept store which she co-founded in 2010. The brand focuses on bringing together a collection of quality toys, books, and accessories, focusing on ethical products which are designed to be loved for a long time. Quickly approaching its 10th birthday, the offering has been hugely successful and goes from strength to strength. Davina, I can't wait to unpack all those roles and your creative journey. What a pleasure to welcome you to Greater Than 11%.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, that was a journey. I listened to it as well. It's, yeah, pretty much full on.
Yeah, you've worked
good.
Yeah, it's amazing. You've worked with some major brands and in such like the role would adjust and pivot and each time and, you know, you'd pick up another kind of skill or ability. It was amazing to look through all the things that you've done.
Yeah, it was good, which evidently led me to Lemons Me and also Beanie Buds. It's been a journey, yeah. But a good journey, like all those brands under my belt, which were quite big brands, especially when I left uni as well. That was like massive. So it was quite a privilege to have that too. And just going from like graphic to digital and then from digital to back to graphic, yeah. And then back to digital again. It's nice that I can do that because of my skill set. Yeah. So, yeah.
Which is great because we're definitely, as I said, we're going to unpack all that, which I'm really looking forward to. But I'm wondering if we could kick off with you telling me what exactly is a creative brand consultant?
So especially with creative titles, there's always different descriptions for them. So I would say that a creative brand consultant is someone or a group of people that work with clients one-to-one throughout the content development and process and towards the final design. So it's more of like a one-to-one, given all my knowledge, which I have, and also providing clients updates each step. It's just giving that support also and building that trust as well, because all the brands that I've worked with, I've noticed that when I work with, like, especially with Clarins, it was building trust with, like, working with external clients. So it was like working with the Paris team, because we was based in the UK, it was a franchise. It was just building that confidence. So I've built that confidence from the beginning of working with different clients and different people and different levels in the business. So that's inspired me. And I think it's a natural thing to go into consulting because of all my experience. Mm.
So I guess what you're saying is it's a bit of taking all the knowledge and the actual hands-on experience And the client management, which is such a tricky thing often, mm-hmm. especially when you're talking about rebranding and changing the brand, taking a new direction. And then building that trust and then walking them through that and then delivering the project.
That's correct, yeah. Like rebranding, I've done it probably about 4 times within my career because every time I've landed in a role, which is great for me, it's straight into a rebranding project. So it's been good.
That is so exciting because, I mean, you get to start off, you get to basically clean slate or you yeah. evolve, obviously, yeah. where it's come from. But it's so great to land a job and then hit the ground running with that.
Yeah, scary, but yeah, good.
Pressure. yeah. Cool. Okay. So you founded your brand design agency, Lemons Me, last year. Can you discuss what services you offer?
It is an agency, it's not. So I work with small brands and startups. So agencies can feel quite overwhelming and quite scary. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to call it like a brand design studio. Mm-hmm. So it focuses on small to medium brands, including startups, and it involves like packages. So there's like starter package, there's a growth package, investment package. And within those packages, like as a startup, it's quite hard to decide what you need at that time. Mm-hmm. Because when you're starting up, obviously you need your logo and your branding, but you don't necessarily have the budget for it. So I just wanted to offer those services. And they're like flexible too. Given those names as well, it makes it sound a bit more digestible as well.
Mm. So I guess you're, especially working with startups and smaller businesses, you're really holding hands then, aren't you? Like it's like right at the beginning and some of those kind of startups may not have even gone through any branding. So that must be quite exciting, but also like a new dimension to managing clients, because you've been working for big brands who have been through these processes and understand it all, etc. So how's that, working with people that may not even have kind of access to potential design language?
It's great. So as you said, like I've worked with quite big teams, small teams, and I'm a bit of a nurturer. I love like bringing, and especially the teams that I've had, they're quite young and junior, which is nice. So I've kind of brought them under my wing and kind of like developed them, and they've gone and like blossomed into like the senior designer they wanted to do and stuff. So it's great speaking with clients, because some clients know what they want and some clients don't. So you just don't want like a salesy kind of design person to come in and say, oh, I think you should get this and this. It's just sitting down and having, as it says, consulting with them, finding out what they want. And I always make them lead. Mm. So they, because it's their brand. So I'm just guiding them. So I let them lead, tell me what they want down from like the colors and helping them with the logo as well. So yeah.
I love that you said that, like you're a nurturer. Yeah. I think that's so key, because I think often that hard sell comes in with a lot of offerings like this. So if you've got someone that's really willing to listen to you and really take on board everything, like immediately, that's like the best sales tool ever, because it's just like feeling understood, especially when you're trying to set something up or start something off and you don't have the kind of language or even the knowledge of what your logo might look like or what it could be or actually what colors you could use. You might like certain colors, but it's not appropriate for your brand. All those things, having someone like holding your hand, walking you through and listening to you, that sounds awesome.
So I had a few clients before and it was nice to just work with them. Even though I was working full-time at the time and being a parent and also running Beanie Buds, it was just nice to get that experience hand. And then that's when I decided, yeah, I really want to do this full-time.
Oh, like, that's awesome. Yeah. Which is leading me on to my next question, is why you chose to set it up. So is it a case of working with few side hustle projects and then...
Yeah, I've done a lot, quite a bit. I've gained so much experience and I just thought, as I said before, it's a natural way of the way to go, being a consultant. But not just being, no offence to other consultants, as I said, just being slightly different, just being a bit more understanding, a bit more, as we said, nurturing, just giving them a bit of a guide. So yeah, so I really wanted to start doing it. And it's been really good so far. I've got like a few clients and not pushed myself as well. So working full time, you do get pushed to the limit. And so it's just, you kind of get to a standstill and you're like, okay. And it just keeps on going and then you don't have the passion anymore. Mm. And that's just my personal experience. So I just thought, if I work for myself and get the clients that I want to work with, then I will enjoy it a lot more and then have that work and life balance as well that I've been longing to have.
Yeah, and in those roles, that kind of whirlwind tour that I went through, they are roles with lots of responsibility and a lot of pressure. So, yay, you've got your own business. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So I want to talk about Beanie Buds & Co.
Yeah.
So you started that off in 2010, mm-hmm. and it's going strong, and you now are running that in addition to Lemons Me. Yeah. Is there crossover between the two businesses?
No crossover, only that I'm constantly learning. So with Beanie Buds, a bit of a story to it. So I was at Miss Selvidge and newlyweds and everything, and I just found out I was expecting literally that morning. Went to work, and then I found out my job was at risk. So it was like good news and bad news at the same time. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay. So we got over that. Had a few months off to have like a break. And then I just said to my husband, I really want to set up a blog. And he says, yeah, that's cool. And I said, because I'm having my little one, I thought it'd be nice to have a blog with like really interesting designy things that I like and stuff that's quite different and just blog about it. It went really well. It was very successful. Won awards. And then we did lots of guest posts and everything. And then I said to my husband, shall we set up a shop? And that time, no one was really doing like online boutiques. Uh-huh. It was quite unique. So we did one. We started off really small. Got a small loan from my uncle. My husband, he's a developer. So that was great. So I'm a designer.
Did you target a web developer for a husband? You're like, I've got this vision. I know what I need.
No, but yeah, we do get a lot of that. We're a great duo. Yeah. So yeah. So he was like, yeah, let's do it. So we built it on Big Cartel. So that's like an indie online website where you can, if you're really small, you can start up. So we did that. I did all the branding. It's actually changed since then. I thought it needed a little bit of an uplift. So I did all the branding and then my husband did all the building. And it was really successful. We got lots of like lovely customers and everyone loved the product. And at that time, it's quite different. So it's stuff that's different from the high street. We did lots of pop-up shops. And this was all while I was working full-time as well.
And had you had the little one by
Yeah,
then?
So we had the little one. Okay. Sorry, that was after.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a few like freelancing roles while I was pregnant, mm-hmm. but I just decided to do this full-time because it was quite full-on. First baby and everything. And I enjoyed doing this. So we did like pop-up shops. And yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. Sounds amazing. And I just want to go back a little bit. So you said that it came out of a blog that's won loads of awards.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't find anything on that. So I know. Tell me about that.
So we won like blogging awards, so mm-hmm. like for parenting, mm-hmm. and it was just like small categories, but it was still something for us. So yeah. It was like, oh, this is great, we're like winning and stuff. There was a slow period as well, mm-hmm. and then we was thinking, oh, because everyone was starting to open a shop, which is fine. I like a bit of competition, and yeah. that's how the economy and everything grows. And then we was like, oh, we're not really shouting out as much. My husband said, no, let's keep going. Maybe let's change the direction and maybe bring in like nice toys, like wooden toys, which we have, which is like really nice, again, from independent brands, mm-hmm. really unique kind of. And then it picked up again. So it's just changing what works and what isn't, and just looking at the market. Mm. And again, we're not professionals in that, so we've learned everything like Google Analytics. So I'm just constantly just learning. So it goes back to learning, constantly learning from the store. Lemons Me, I'm always learning as a consultant because mm. you need to keep up with stuff. So I'm constantly learning. So yeah, so they don't really cross over other than I did the branding.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
And I guess you take learnings from it each as well.
Yeah.
In different ways.
Yeah.
Cool. So, I mean, I touched upon it in the intro, but I'm wondering if I can hear from you about your career journey.
It's a long one.
You're not that old.
So yeah, from uni, I did my degree, but it wasn't really a satisfying degree. It was about design, but it was very, as I did it many moons ago, it was very like, very technical, but not like technical like now kind mm-hmm. of thing. I didn't really learn much. But my actual first job was Evans. Mm-hmm. So the Arcadia Group. So mm-hmm. at that time, Evans was like massive. It was like the only plus size company that mm-hmm. was like storming and like really good. So that was really exciting. I did graphics there. So mm-hmm. I started from graphics and then went to digital. And I found my love for digital at Miss Selvidge just before I got made redundant. It was really good. So I was doing both because at that time it was doing both graphic and digital because again, the digital market wasn't as intense as it is now. Mm-hmm. So I thought this is really good. Like knowing about emails as well, and like the website, and there's different rules compared to like graphics and digital. So yeah, jumping between both was pretty interesting. And just taking a job from the beginning and designing everything, so it's from like Windows right down to like email. Mm-hmm. So it's very broad, yeah. But I quite liked it. So I said, okay, I feel like I want to do that. So where I really got my management skills was, to be honest, with every job, which I was really lucky, mm-hmm. just getting thrown in there. I was thrown in there through all my roles. I'm not complaining, but it's been good. Yeah, I've literally just gone in and just ran with it. And I was like, okay, that's good. My next longest held role was TK Maxx. And that was really good, really fast. And retail's fast anyway, so I was used to that. But it was really, and it was 100% digital. Mm-hmm. So it was really good. A bit of art direction as well that I got. So yeah, it was brilliant. The teams are different from like the graphic teams. So you're working with like, there's myself, but then you're working with like developers, and then you're working with like analytic team. So it's kind of like constant, which is good. And I thought, I quite like this because I'm a bit of a nerd, so I quite like the back end of stuff and like how it works and how many figures and what we're selling and stuff. So it was really good. And then after that, I went to Bowdoin. So I went back to Bowdoin because it may seem cliche, but I actually always wanted to work for Bowdoin. So it was really lovely working for Bowdoin and just going back to doing like catalogue, which I haven't done since Evans. And then it was like also doing the website as well. Mm-hmm. It was mostly a managerial role and coming up with ideas, but it was just nice to have my team that was working on stuff. And it's bringing back memories, and it's really nice. And then went on to FitFlop, which was head of creative direction, so senior design role. And that was great as well, it's a bigger team. And then I like the fact that like FitFlop, if no one knows, is they're about technology. So their technology in their footwear is really great. And I thought, this is really good. It's really like technical. There's like science behind it, but then also there's like the design as well. Mm. And then there's like everything. It's just really great, like everything put together. And then I did like art direction. I did all the shoots for them. So it was a really nice change from like Bowdoin going on to FitFlop. And then that's when I just decided, okay, let's go into this consultancy and see how it works. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. So yeah.
I definitely get the sense that you're a bit of a geek girl.
Yeah.
You love your stats. You love how everything fits together, which is amazing for like a designer to be interested in, because all those things inform how you may create something.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's awesome. So you've touched upon it just then, talking about that your design course that you did first off, that you weren't that satisfied with. And then you went on and did a master's in photography and urban cultures. So I kind of see how these two things can complement each other. But what was the connection decision point to follow your design BA with a photography master's?
Yeah, so I always wanted to do an MA, and I actually wanted to do a PhD because I just love, again, research and everything. And I, at one point, wanted to be a lecturer and teach in photography or any kind of design. So I decided to do that. But then the course was like really interesting as well. And Goldsmiths at that time was amazing. So I just thought, why not? And this, the title alone, Photography and Urban Cultures, it's just so rich. It just sounded really good. I love photography as well, hence my art direction. So I decided to do my master's after I had a year working at Evans. That was my first job. So just having that experience, because I didn't want to like do it back to back. I wanted to have some experience, and I'm glad I did. So I went and did that, had some experience, and I went back to do my master's for a year. And it was really great. My project was women within their living spaces. And it was really nice, and it was portraits of my family, my late grandma, and also within their space that they love in their home.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It was really great.
I really want to see that. Do you still have?
I do. I do. Yeah, I will.
You'll have to share it with us.
So, and it was great. It was hard work, and that's where I got the art direction bug as well, because I was like doing set design, taking photography. I was doing everything just to get that perfect picture. And I even done a self-portrait as well. That was the hardest thing ever. Just trying to get the right like technique and But it was brilliant. And also the studying side of it was really good as well.
Amazing. And do you feel like, when you said you weren't that satisfied with the undergraduate course in design,
Do you feel that kind of doing that master's really quenched your thirst? It sounds like it, like hearing you talk about it, it sounds like an awesome course, actually.
Yeah, definitely. I just didn't feel that satisfied with my design course, my BA course. It wasn't a waste or anything. I just didn't feel satisfied. And I think having the Evans role really helped me continue with the design. I mean, I only know design, but it just helped me to reassure that, okay, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Amazing. So, creative brand consultancy covers many communication touch points. So how do you stay up to date with trends and changes across all the channels? Because as you mentioned, like digital has just exploded.
I read a lot. There's this platform called Medium. It's really good. And there's like different writers and they talk about tech. I'm obsessed with it. Talk about tech and creative, travel, business and everything. And I've learned quite a lot from there. And yeah, the Dots as well that I've joined as well. So that's like for more art directing and stuff. So really keeping up to date. And you're right, it's quite hard being self-employed because I'm not with a team, so it's just me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my skill and I'm used to that, but it's just trying to keep up to date and make sure it's current. And yeah, it's been working good.
Yeah, the Dots is amazing.
Yeah.
We're big fans of the Dots. And Pip Jameson, who set it up, she's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's such a great resource for finding other creatives as well, isn't it?
Yeah, which I have actually for a project. I've actually worked with a photographer, so yeah, it really helps, yeah.
Oh, awesome. I've talked about this many times on the podcast, and it's, I guess it's kind of getting your take as well. So creative process can often be fraught in terms of coming up with loads of ideas and, you know, making sure that you're hitting the targets that you want with your clients. And when I say targets, I mean like giving them what they need and making them feel reassured. So how do you manage those times when you aren't feeling like you've got the right creative idea or you're on the right track for a project?
How do I manage?
Yeah, because you know that feeling of like, am I going to get this right? Are they going to like it? All those kind of insecurities that bubble up. Maybe you don't have them. That'd be great.
No, I think, speaking for myself, you do because you're taking on someone's brand. So that's a big responsibility, I think, anyway. So you want to make sure you get it right and that they love it. So yeah, my design process is quite, I do take my time. I know there's different design processes, but as long as like the brief, like anything, is like really concrete and I know what the client wants, it should be quite easy. But the thing that really works for me is having those regular one-to-ones with my client. I don't go off and design like a big bulk of work without consulting with my client. Mm-hmm. Again, you can speak to your client like one day and the next day they might say, oh, actually, I know I said that, but I do feel like this might work. So just an example. So it's just communicating with my client as much as I can. And obviously not too much to a point where it's restricting my timeline and stuff, but just making sure. And I did that working with the other brands that I worked with, just communicating. I think that's like the biggest thing ever. Communicating with the clients, communicating with your team so that you get the best outcome.
Do you feel that there's a lot of emotional intelligence that comes into play when working with clients? I was thinking about how kind and wonderful you are in terms of allowing people space when they're new to the process or they're probably starting up a business is stressful anyway. So I was just thinking about how, I don't know, your intuition or your kind of nurturing element comes in and how much that comes into play with what you do.
Yeah, it does. Because I haven't had anyone design anything for me because I've done it, but I've worked with different teams and different companies and I've kind of like taken each element from those experience and brought them on board, like the good ones and stuff. And with the bad ones, I've learned from them to say, okay, I don't really want to go down that direction. So I think my experience has helped me a lot. I've learned so much. I've also experienced a lot.
I love that you laugh when you say that.
Yeah.
Something you're not going to share with me, I feel.
Yeah, it's like I've had the best experience, but yeah, you kind of like, you don't have a guard up, but you kind of like try and forget those things. And then I think that's why, because I've experienced highs and lows, I just think for my clients, I wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
I would want a smooth road. And I'm not saying that everything has to be a smooth road. There might be clients that don't know what they want and then we have to start from scratch, but it's just making it comfortable for both of us. So there's no like, yeah.
Which is a lovely segue into the fact that as a creative brand consultant, you're working directly with clients all the time, as you've kind of indicated. So you're doing workshops, or you're pitching to clients, you're taking ideas, developing them, and then there's the whole process of then delivering and going through that feedback cycle. So how do you manage this whilst protecting your creativity? Because they're two very different streams and ways of working. And the creativity sometimes, I find from my experiences, can be sacrificed just trying to manage the whole client process.
Yeah, and it goes back to experience. So with teams, because in teams, you're going to get different personalities. So it's just trying to find out everyone's personality and who can work on what. And once I've got that, that's my technique. Once I know who's strong at this and who's not strong, or who needs to be strong at this, that's when I think, okay, I've got a great team. Obviously, I'm on my own. So far, I've had really great clients working with me. I think it helps with me having that kind of first interaction and that nurturing interaction, so they feel a bit more comfortable. But you're right, not spending too much time on that so I can focus on design. So I make sure I give myself quite a long design timeline. It gives myself enough time to do the consulting and actually do the work too. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a fine balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a juggle constantly. Yeah. So within Lemons Me and also Beanie Buds & Co., is there typical days for you in your roles? Because you're kind of juggling both.
Pretty much. Beanie Buds pretty much runs by itself. So I have schedules for like posts, like mm-hmm. Instagram and Facebook. And I do those in bulk. So it's quite nice. I do a bit of photography as well. It's like a bit of still life and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's nice. And then it's just concentrating on my clients and also trying to gain new clients as well. So mm-hmm. that's like another kind of sell, kind of pitch kind yeah. of thing. So it's just working on that. Yeah. And then being a mother.
Yeah.
And a wife. But I wouldn't change it. Like, my work-life balance is so much better now.
Yeah.
I feel more chilled, and I'm doing stuff that I love and working with clients that I love. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. I love when people also take a leap and then actually work through it, because change is change. Like, it'll always bring up some weird stuff that you haven't prepared for. But once you kind of get into that kind of routine, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So what skills do you need to be a creative brand consultant?
I think all of it, like design skills, management skills, people skills, tech skills. Not necessarily, but it'd be good to, if you are venturing into web. Yeah.
And on those managerial skills, because you mentioned earlier on that you've been thrown in, basically you're joining, you learnt basically through doing that. What has that given you? I could see in terms of your trajectory that you were taking on more and more leadership roles, but you haven't had any formal training or kind of sought out how to do it. Like you said, you're thrown in. So how was that process of kind of working out what worked and what didn't in terms of managing teams? Because teams can be wonderful, they can also be quite stressful.
They sure can. And I've had some bad bosses in the time, so I just didn't want to be that. I want to be the opposite. And I think it's, again, you kind of need to be a nurturer. There is training, but I just love working with people and seeing them grow as well, like designers, the junior designers, and giving advice. Yeah, working, collaborating. I really enjoy it. I just think I'm a natural people person. Like, I just love, interaction.
And there's nothing better than seeing people grow and develop, isn't there? Like, I love that when you can see, like, oh wow, they started off here and they've managed to develop and grow their skill set and confidence as well. That's beautiful to see. Awesome. What advice would you give to someone who's considering a kind of creative art direction career, which might involve a bit of consultancy, might involve a bit of managerial responsibility, but focusing around that creative art direction?
Whatever roles you have, always learn. Even if you're in a role for quite a long time, just keep on learning because there's new things all the time in companies. Like TK Maxx, it was like I was from senior for like the website and emails, and then I went on to doing a replatforming of the TK Maxx website.
It's a small task.
So it was literally, and like working on platforms like Hybris and stuff. The geek came out of me again. It was just like, it was just growing, just like constantly, and just giving interest in what you want to do.
Can I ask you, what's been one of the biggest challenges you've faced in your career?
Even though I've like been successful and I've had like the roles that I want, it's because you're artistic and finding your artistic voice and being noticed in a noisy market as well. So it's quite full on. I've worked with big brands, so they're massive. Like TK Maxx is a £1 billion company, and like all the others are.
In what way? So you're talking about having that artistic voice. Like, what do you mean by that? How would you explain that to someone coming into the ranks? Because actually it's quite integral, but actually it's quite full on that as well.
Pretty much. So just for me to get to Lemons Me, I had to take a look back and see what skills I have and strengths and really consider what my next moves were going to be. As I said, I've had amazing experience. I've like learned a lot, but I just felt it wasn't enough. The natural way for me was to work for myself because I've gained that, and then I can just love what I do and not have to basically answer to anyone or justify anything, or just do what I love the most.
So is it like finding your own creative kind of language or kind of output that, like you're saying, so once you've freed yourself from the shackles of these big companies, you can like lay that on the line and be like, this is my creativity.
Yeah, definitely. I'm here today because of all of what I've learned. Yeah. But there's just so much you can like do and like take from a company to a point where you're like, okay, I need to do this for myself. Yeah. I'm sure I can do this for myself. Let's give it a go.
That's so interesting. No one else has talked about that, but actually it's quite crucial. Anyone who's creative, they're trying to find their voice and a place for their work and the way that they see the world.
And then also just touching on the base of being a woman of colour as well, it's quite challenging. Just working with my colleagues and my other female colleagues and just how they grew in the company quite quickly. And one of them also was like the same role as me as well. So it's just quite hard, and just like witnessing certain things as well, which you kind of pick up on, but you don't necessarily want to shout out about them, but it is like there. And I hope it does change, because I've been in my profession for quite a few years and I've seen it from the beginning to like my last days at FitFlop. So I do ask questions, why and how comes that's not suitable for me, or why can't I go to this level? So it's diversity as well within the workplace. Throughout my whole career, I haven't really had that diversity. And like creative directors, like black creative directors, the only one that I worked with was at the time was at Miss Selfridge. Since then, I haven't worked with any other than myself, who's quite senior.
Dealing with that on a daily basis is exhausting for a start.
Mm.
And when you hit those kind of blocks, you know, it takes an emotional toll as well.
Yeah.
So as part of the journey, Lemons Me is also then creating that space so that you can, one, find your creative artistic landing spot vision, but also not having to deal with that crap.
Yeah, pretty much. And also just putting me out there as well.
Yeah.
And just making me be seen as well, and like creating more diversity in the creative fields, because I haven't really seen much creative like women or men of colour that have like their own business stuff. There might be some out there, don't get me wrong, but yeah, I just thought it was quite important for me as well to be out there and to show my face and to show my skills and stuff. So yeah, so setting up that did help as well.
I love that, because I really think that is, you know, it's part of this podcast as well, is like being able to push diversity forward and give people kind of access to visibility.
Yeah.
You know, it's so important.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm in love with Lemons Me. The more you talk about it. So what do you love about your role in running Lemons Me and Beanie Buds & Co?
Beanie Buds I love because there's so much lovely brands at the moment, like independent brands that are coming out with these amazing products, from like gadgets to like toys. It's just evolving. It's really nice. So that's, I'm really looking forward to the years to come with that. And then Lemons Me, again, just working for myself and like working with lovely clients. And I'm looking forward to working like with really small brands, so again, that I can nurture them and let them grow, see them blossom. So yeah.
So I'm super excited to see where Lemons Me goes and grows, because it's just started, so it's at the beginning. So, and it's so wonderful. Like, I am really smiling to hear how supportive you are of kind of small and startup kind of businesses. With Beanie Buds & Co., you're coming up to your 10th birthday. Is there plans?
Well, we haven't thought of any yet. There probably will be some like nice like giveaways or for some space, but not permanent. Mm. Maybe like those lovely little markets that we can go to. So that'd be quite nice, because it's good to get Beanie Buds out there, even though it's online and everybody's about e-com. Mm-hmm. But it's good to like get the customers to come and feel and touch the products. Mm. And also just to get to know our customers as well, instead of seeing them on an analytics report. Just seeing them, like, so yeah, still TBC.
Yeah, amazing. There is something, isn't there? I totally agree with that, in that actually having a face for the brand as well.
Yeah.
And especially with something like the toys that you guys supply and sell, they're beautiful objects. So seeing them and touching them does add another layer.
Yeah.
And it kind of builds a following in a different way.
Yeah, definitely. Because yeah, online's great, Instagram's great. We still have high streets. We still go in store and have a look at stuff and feel them and try them on and stuff. So it's we could do that too. But we don't need to have a permanent space. We can do that with like markets or like a temporary space, pop-ups. So yeah.
I'm curious what you're going to do for the birthday branding. That's
I know. No pressure.
Yeah. All right, so can you tell me, how do you fuel your own creativity?
I do take some time out because that's full on. So I go back to my uni days where I just go to like the galleries. Can never get bored of those, the V&A, just getting it like inspirational like stuff. So yeah, I do that mostly. And the stays out with my kids as well, they're amazing and fun. So yeah, just learning from them every day as well is quite nice. So yeah, it's nice balance. Mm.
How old are your kids?
My little girl's 9, so yeah, she'll be 10.
In line with Beanie Buds and Co.,
yes.
Of course.
And my little boy's 5.
Oh, amazing. Oh, you must be busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So can you tell me what you've got coming up in the next few weeks and months?
So I've got a lovely client that I'm working with. It's quite a big one for Lemons Me. I'm really excited.
Awesome. Yeah. Davina, I have so loved talking to you and talking through all the amazing things you've done. But also what I really love is just how caring and nurturing you are, like taking design and branding and then really helping people that are stepping on that journey. And it's been so lovely hearing you talk about that. And yeah, because I think there's a lack of that potentially in the industry.
Yeah.
So I love that you've taken all that huge wealth of experience, especially with big brands, and then packaging it, and I mean that in the nicest sense, and giving that to other people. That's awesome. So wrapping up, something I ask everyone at the end of the interview is two questions. Firstly, is there a career or job in the creative industries you know little about, and then potentially I can find someone in that role, get them on the podcast, and we can dissect that role and learn more about that. And secondly, a woman that you would recommend I get in touch with to invite onto Greater Than 11%.
So a screenwriter, just the process. I love movies and theater, so it's just like, how do they start from like the brainstorming right down to like the detail of that? That'd be really interesting.
Yeah, I'd love to get a screenwriter. That's a great show.
Yeah.
And is there a woman that you'd like to recommend I get in touch with?
My friend Nicole, she's brilliant. She's a creative coach and her brand is called A Life More Inspired. I've worked with her when we was at Evans, so I've known her for many years. And she's just brilliant. She's very nurturing as well. And she's just doing great things at the moment. So yeah, she'll be a great person to have on.
Oh, she sounds incredible. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure learning more about what you do and how you do it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed, please write a review and rate, as that helps other people find Greater Than 11%. Also, stay subscribed to keep up to date on the weekly releases.